Part three. Move on to part three of today's Valentine's Day sermon, celebrating committed Christ-like love wherever it is found. Same-sex relationships. Again, anything I say here can only be in the general. Please read the Living in Love and Faith publication for more detail. First to say, the Living in Love and Faith publication summarizes the science that says that same-sex orientation is fundamentally innate. Science tells us that our sexual orientation is formed in the womb by genes, and even more so by variant levels of male sex hormones in the womb at particular stages of development. Environmental factors, upbringing, social influences have very little impact in determining our sexuality, according to the summary in Living in Love and Faith. Now consider biblical interpretation. We know that the Bible is the word of God, the grounds for our faith, but we also know it is the word of humans, written in particular times and particular cultures. We always interpret the Bible through lenses. Every one of us does it, particularly the lenses of reason, experience, and vitally Christ-like love. Look at any Bible passage and ask, what is it saying today in the light of reason, experience, and Christ-like love? So yes, all agree that there are Bible verses, not many, a few, that condemn homosexuality. Leviticus 20:13 is often quoted. But of course, so much of Leviticus is simply discarded by all of us as being irrelevant or even abhorrent to today. We filter by reason, experience, Christ-like love. And it is true that there are words of St. Paul that speak of homosexual offenders, including in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. But the context is always general debasement, utter immorality. So when we see such verses through the lenses of reason, experience, and Christ-like love, we can see that this condemnation surely has nothing to do with committed Christ-like love in same-sex relationships. Think about the context where St. Paul is writing. Homosexual practice was an all-pervasive lifestyle choice in the Mediterranean world of the first century. 14 of the first 15 Roman emperors practiced homosexuality. Homosexuality practiced not because of innate same-sex orientation, but simply for self-willed pleasure. Fundamental sin against the glory of the body, the degrading of their bodies, as Paul says in Romans 1:24. Particular Bible verses then condemn immorality, not Christ-like committed love. And there is more general argument from the Bible that male-female relationship is integral to the creation mandate as set out in Genesis. Indeed, as we're doing today, celebrate the glorious mutuality and fruitfulness of male-female marriage. But does this mean we do not acknowledge, celebrate same-sex love with all the glorious possibilities of mutuality and fruitfulness? Of course, for Christians who continue to hold to the view that any homosexual practice is sin, the only option for someone born with same-sex orientation is to be celibate. A hard imposition when not freely chosen. As we have seen, celibacy can be a glorious choice, but it is one that not many of us would willingly choose. Church views have shifted in so many ways over the generations. The Bible has been used in the past to defend slavery, ban contraception, prohibit marriage after divorce, prevent women's leadership in the church and the ordination of women. Biblical arguments can be made why these were the correct things to do. But we have changed because we've looked again at Scripture through the lenses of reason, experience, and Christ-like love. We have recognized that changing in these areas has brought true Christ-like freedom, abundance of life, and love. The church has shifted over the last 30 years on same-sex relationships, but we still hold back in celebration. In our church, the Church of England, we are prohibited from publicly celebrating committed same-sex relationships. And also, you cannot be ordained and be in a committed practicing same-sex relationship. These are the issues integral to the Living in Love and Faith publication, issues where our bishops tell us decisions need to be made with some urgency. The crucial question, is it wrong to acknowledge and celebrate committed Christ-like love in same-sex relationships? You may have realised that when we listened earlier to Rufus Wainwright singing of the love that ended his desolation, he could only be singing of love of another man. He had a torrid time coming out, but is now happily married. Is not such love that enhances, amplifies, exalts human well-being, that brings blessings of mutuality and fruitfulness to be openly celebrated? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. On this Valentine's Day, may we celebrate the glory of Christ-like love wherever it is found. Amen.